Then you go on to where there's more of a collaborative or consolidation of your faith or of your, what is the word, religion, or did you kind of set that aside? Maybe it's your spirituality. And that's where you come in, and that's where I love, like Rumi and Hafiz and some other great spiritual leaders or poets, or even go back to Meister Eckhart and Julian Woodall-Rich and some of the great mystics of our own tradition, and they have, and so then you see this brand new tradition, which is another one that we talked about. It's all over. God's everywhere, you know? And it's not confined by doctrine, because of doctrines and rules and sinning and salvation concerns. It's, you know, that's not what it is. It's becoming awareness of God working in your personal life from your heart and the abundance and the unbelievable joys we have every day in the lives, and we just open up to them. So that's where I'm at. And then the final one is a universal, very similar, the universal understanding of the glory or generosity of God, whatever that may be called, Yahweh, Great Spirit, whatever it is in your, that brings you to that.
So Donna, as a progressive Catholic, you still believe in God. You haven't bypassed that.
Yep.
Is the God you believe in now different from the God of your childhood?
Definitely.
In one way.
How do you see
God now?
How do I see God now? Because I can't remember way back all those years ago. But, you know, probably the God of my childhood is the one that the church was teaching, because that's all I knew. But the God I see now is kind of what I just explained. It's a God of that is a source, an energy that is underbrought, or penetrates, or whatever the word is, infused in everything, in all of creation.
I've heard you say that God is love energy.
Yes, that's what I like.
Yeah,
that's to me. And it's love. God can do nothing else. Yahweh, whatever you want to say, this energy source does nothing but love. That's all there is. That's love. That's the energy.
And I've heard you say that God is more verb than noun.
Oh, absolutely.
In what way?
Well, because the noun makes it sound a little ecstatic. Here's the God on the throne, who's male, by the way. See him there, you know. Well, that's very much of a noun. But a verb means it's active and moving and ongoing on a daily, minute to minute, second by second, right here with us.
Donna, as a progressive Catholic, I would guess that conscience plays a role in your life. Can you address that?
Because of my personal experiences, I don't know if I have a conscience that, in the traditional sense, that it's I'm not just open. I have no fear anymore. There's nothing to fear. So when I see hear the word conscience, I think of, oh gosh, maybe there's something I should, fear or close, but I can't do that anymore.
Traditionally, I think Catholics are seen traditionally as having certain rules and regulations that they are expected to follow.
Yes.
Let's just take as an example birth control.
Right.
Now, people tend to think that there is something that binds Catholics not to use contraception, or at least artificial contraception.
Yes.
How would you apply your own conscience to something of that nature?
Well.
Well, we know you don't agree with that.
No, I'm trying to think of it. Again, it's a personal experience. And when my husband and I were, obviously in childbearing age, that's why I was laughing, because I thought to myself, I don't know how. When the Pope has children, and then says, that how I should be able. Then maybe I'll listen. But wait a second. At this point, how can a celibate human being? It wasn't just his position. There were lots of. There was an underlying reason that they say that they believe it's contraceptive from the celibate male religion. So I won't go into all that.
And don't just get hung up on this
point. No.
But the Catholics are supposed to.
Yes.
Supposed to do
that. Well, so 98% of all Catholics don't listen to that anyway.
No.
And that's where we've got to follow our conscience. And there's lots that goes into that.
Right.
How much carbon footprint do I, want to be on this earth? And I guess that's there. So you can go on and on. The reasons we decided that.
Right. Yeah. So you think that as a progressive Catholic, you need to take into account the circumstances in which we live. You said the carbon footprint, things of that sort. So if you view religion as impacting your life as a way of living rather than a way of believing?
Yes. I don't feel bound by all that.
Yeah.
Because I believe God is bigger than that.
Yeah. So take something, for example, that that is considered creedal in the Catholic Church. Let's say belief in the incarnation, that Jesus was the second, that there is a second person of the Blessed Trinity who became man in Jesus. Do you tend to believe things like that along traditional lines, or do you have a broader interpretation?
Well, when we were at Atchison, we would talk about things like this, and we said, well, we have to translate it, and so I translate it to where it fits in this God of the universal God, and then I can go with it. But I don't say the creed anymore,
So let's talk for a minute about Jesus, because after all, we are Christians.
Yes.
Where does Jesus fit in your life?
Well, I like, there's of these books, and this is one of many. There was one that was written by Ron Moniz called The Holy Mommy. And so he talks about the incarnation of Jesus. And he said it just was not a 33-year-old experience 2,000 years ago. That the incarnation of Jesus is going on now in all of us. You know, and so then I can go back to my universal battery included type of understanding of Jesus being love.
Yeah.
You know, and that love and is still happening and will still happen. It'll go on. In Christ, I like to think of now that's a cosmic Christ type thinking rather than Jesus male image. I think the cosmic Christ is universal. No, is the energy again, no male, female, the verb type.
Unfortunately, I was told that we need to stop it at 4:45. Does that mean we're stopping for questions, or does that mean we're out of questions?
Yeah, I think
we'd like to open up
the audience. Kathleen has the microphone,
so raise
your hand.
Mike Pinella has a question.
Lots of questions.
Mute. Off.
Are you on there?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
Am I on there?
Yep.
Nope.
First question, if somebody wants to come up to the podium.
See, I'm getting the mute off thing, and he said last time that minute wasn't on back here. So.
I can repeat it.
I can probably talk loudly enough for everybody to hear.
But it won't go into the recording.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to do it, too.
My question is, with all the thinking that you have done about this and the distance that you have moved from the conservative tradition of the Catholic Church, why do you feel compelled to continue your association with that church?
Good question. Several reasons. One, I have lots of friends who are also progressive Catholics, and lots who aren't Catholics but progressive Christians, who I have met and who are, believe it or not, still active in the church. I go back to what I kind of said here. Because I'm allowed to speak like this, maybe not quite this openly, but I'm allowed to present within the realms of the Catholic Church that I can plant a little seed. I can offer that violin, like that poem said. You know, then we can, and they will offer that music to others. Because I believe, I'm a big believer in the Holy Spirit working through all of us, and I have a very, even a Sikh hope is very much more pastoral, is breaking down those walls. And I could go to another church, but then I have to start all over with that community building, with that, you know, they probably wouldn't ask me to present because they don't know me, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then there's another more. Really, my husband's a deacon in the church. But he is also very progressive, and so he too, in his homilies and things, will bring in some of the things that God is more of a God of now and here, and not that off-planet God.
So have to follow for So earlier you looked at each other and you said, well, you know, you can't change the church, so you have to change yourself or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I hear you saying in the answer to this question is that you actually, in fact, hope that by staying within the community, that eventually you will, a more like you, will get it to change.
Okay, good, also a good question. My goal isn't so much to change the church. My goal is to help, as a spiritual director, is to help people become more aware of God in their lives and help them change individually and help them feel comfortable in their own progressive Catholic shoes. You see what I mean? And so if that changes the church, then that's fine. But I don't get hung up on trying to change the hierarchy. I mean, I could, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. I don't even like the women to run at all. You know, so I stay there because I can help individuals.
Yeah. And well, again, if I was that way, then
yes,
I'd
be exactly.
Thank you, Donna, for a very interesting conversation with Jane. I have a lot of wonderful Catholic students in my classes, but my question is very brief. You mentioned the title of the book at the very end of your,
yes,
and I didn't get it. Could you repeat that, please?
It's called The Holy Longing by Ron Rollheiser. And what I tell lots of people, because I love my books, go to the bibliography, look up some of those authors, Thomas Merton, Henry Nouwen, Joan Chittister, Macrina Whitaker, and then you'll read their books and you'll look up the bibliography, Richard Rohr. Then that's how you expand, because you will not, from our pulpit, get those books and those titles. So that's another thing I try to do, is to let people know that. I mean, people think I'm heretical, you know, and I want them to know that this is a path within our tradition, and it's rich and deep in this mystical, monastic, contemplative way. So.
Hi, my name is Mike Pinella, and I really appreciate you coming and speaking today. Having grown up in a Catholic family, gone to Catholic school as a youngster, a lot of your conversation was very familiar. It made me really dwell on that point in my life. And I, too, came to realize at a fairly young age the God of fear that is taught to young Catholics. And really, it was one of the ultimate reasons why I chose to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully respect your choice to stay and keep on your path. Mine just kind of took a different direction.
Absolutely.
One of the things I'm curious about is I couldn't sit here and not make political comparisons to some of the things you're saying in terms of, you know, being kind of an underdog, and I feel that way politically in Kansas, a liberal Kansas. I couldn't help but make the comparison of a liberal Catholic to a liberal Kansan, and I'm just curious what kind of opposition you've run into in local churches, if any. I mean, do you feel like they criticize you for being progressive, or is it well accepted? That's just where my mind went.
Okay, that's a good question. I try to fly under the radar screen. However, there's enough. Some people don't know me other than the deacon's wife. You know, they don't know that I'm a progressive. Others do, and we don't have many conversations. I see no reason. You know, they have their story and they're sticking to it, and I have my story and I'm sticking to it. And we're not going to convince each other. So we just say hi, how are you doing, and are very congenial to one another. So I've not, fortunately, run into too many direct confrontations.
I'm Sarah, and I just wanted to comment more than a question. As I was listening, all this is very familiar to me as well. I also grew up Catholic, but my Catholic experience is also a little bit different. When you're talking about traditional Catholicism versus more progressive, I think that, like, just from your descriptions, the church that I grew up in was more on the progressive one. I learned at a young age growing up that, you know, it was more of when Jesus came in, it's more of a transition to spreading love and everything. It's something that I think is very important core of, can be an important core of the Catholic Church and the Christian doctrine. I'm very happy to see what you're staying in and spreading that message a bit more in the traditional way can also make that realization. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And I have found that too. Larry and I spent 5 years in Columbus, Ohio. This is about 30 years ago. And it was more progressive. And then we came back here to the Midwest, and this is a little less progressive.
I can't help but ask. First of all, thanking you very much. I've worked a lot with Benedictine Sisters in Oklahoma, and that was just absolutely my community.
Yes.
Often I go to for renewal. But here's a hypothetical question that is actually not so hypothetical, because this happens. If you were to have had a gay son or daughter, and they felt that because of the doctrine that they were taught in the church would make them untenable, how would you stand up for that child?
Well, I would have no qualms to say, hey guys or gal, you know, you find a place where you will feel welcome and comfortable. You know, I wouldn't embrace the Catholic Church on them at all. Their children are born as Catholic, you know, they tend to struggle.
So to take that just one step further, how then is your progressive voice within the larger church modifying what causes many young adults and teenagers to kill themselves?
That is regrettable to me, and that's one thing that, you know, I do not adhere to, and I'm hoping that voice is out there to some people who might come to me as a spiritual director and say, my son or daughter, and, you know, and you love them. You know, you don't, and hopefully they don't profess, you know, this anti-marginalizing of the gay community. I hope that that doesn't come through. And again, in some parishes, in some dioceses, that will not come through. They will. And I even read in one of Larry's Deacon magazines, a wonderful article that was very pro, you know, the gay community. So it's out there. Now, if you're going to get up there in front as the bishop or the pope, you're going to call it, you know, go with the traditional line, the party line. But there's a softening there.
Definitely. She's not telling you everything she does, though. Donna writes a lot of anonymous letters.
Oh, shh.
She has more pseudonyms than I've
ever. I know. Now I just tickle my name, so I'm really going to take some.
All right, well,
I've even written to the Pope, by the way.
Thank you both very much. Please stand if you're able one more time and sing our closing hymn, 131, Love Will Guide Us. to respect differences with dignity, and to challenge those who would forbid it. We are people of a wide path. Let us be wide in affection and go our way in peace. Amen. Everyone is welcome to join us during our thanks for coffee and lunch.